Lecture 3. Sparta. Perceptions and Prejudices.
In this lecture, I'm going to introduce Sparta, one of the two great belligerents in the Peloponnesian War, and this is one of two lectures that will explain Spartan institutions and the Peloponnesian League, and it'll be matched by two lectures dealing with Athens and the Athenian Navy. So you'll have a context of what these powers are like, so we just don't rush into the war without an understanding of the traditions and institutions of the two principal belligerents. Sparta, as I mentioned, is a society and a constitution that has inspired interest since antiquity. It has been admired. It was admired by most Greek authors who thought that Sparta was eunomia, that is, well-ordered, well-governed by proper law. And really, most ancient authors despaired of Athens as a radical democracy that destroyed the rule of the best, and that the reputation the Athenian democracy has enjoyed in the more modern age was certainly not one shared by most ancient authors. There are two reasons for that, and that is the Athenians lost the Peloponnesian War, and they had the audacity to put on trial and execute Socrates, which gained them the enmity of Plato, no small matter. But the Spartans, on the other hand, have very good press. Yet, the Spartans themselves do not write about their constitution, and that adds an additional problem, because most authors who came to write on Sparta generally wrote from a moralizing view. And they fall in two classes. One of them is those authors who thought Sparta was a wonderful constitution, the model to be used to order your own state, and they tended to idealize Sparta as an unchanging world in which these institutions go back to their legendary lawgiver Lycurgus, who may have lived in the 8th century BC. And Lycurgus is invoked with about as much accuracy as most Americans today invoke the founding fathers, and though if pressed who they were and what they did, they're a little vague on the details. The second type of authors are authors who praise Sparta the way they had been and deplore the Spartan conditions of their own day, that the Spartans had fallen due to lack of morality, they've been corrupted by money. And they, too, have a very idealized image of the past. And being non-Spartans, all of these authors, in effect, build up a Spartan mirage, as it's sometimes called in the literature. This is what Sparta was really like, and we should really imitate it or see how far they have fallen from their forefathers. So when you're dealing with the ancient sources on Sparta, you run into this problem that you have this very, very strange image of it, which is not an accurate historical image or even an attempt at such. Written by an author who is a native Spartan or at least very sympathetic and understanding of Spartan institutions, the way we have in Roman history, the way we have in Athenian history. So that is the first warning. A second point that's very important to be made for modern scholars is Sparta does not provide us the kind of archaeology and information that we get from other Greek city-states. They remain very conservative in their organization. That does not mean they were impoverished. But a warning that is said by Thucydides early in his history should be scholars should pay more attention to it. Thucydides' writing in the Peloponnesian War makes the following comment. Suppose, for example, that the city of Sparta were to become deserted and that only the temples and foundations of buildings remained. I think that future generations would, as time passed, find it very difficult to believe that the place had really been as powerful as it was represented to be. Yet the Spartans occupy 2/5 of the Peloponnesus. That's the southern peninsula of Greece, that three-pronged peninsula attached by the Isthmus of Corinth. And they stand at the head not only of the whole Peloponnesus itself, but also of numerous allies beyond the frontiers. Since, however, the city is not regularly planned and contains no temples or monuments of great magnificence, but is simply a collection of villages, these are known as oboi in the Spartan political organization, there are 5 of them, in the ancient Hellenic way, its appearance would not come up to expectation. If, on the other hand, the same thing were to happen to Athens, one would conjecture from what met the eye that the city had been twice as powerful as, in fact, it is. A very, very astute remark by Thucydides, himself an Athenian, who did appreciate the power that the Spartans had. And that is an important warning in looking at the Spartan sources. And our principal sources come from well after the Peloponnesian War, or before.